The views and opinions expressed in this presentation are those of the producer and those appearing in this show, and do not necessarily represent the views of
everything
Dairy King, the town
in
of
its
Dairy,
place,
or
and everything
staff.
Is mine. I can't help but feel good. I can't help but feel fine. Everything is in its place, and all of it is mine.
Ooh, I can't help but smile.
My name is Thomas Donovan, and I'm here with my amazing, notice I said amazing, co-host Gail Brenna Anastasia, author of The Fruit You'll Never See. We want to welcome you to our show, All Things Recovery. Here we discuss all topics regarding mental health, substance abuse, treatment options, and the mental health system itself. We cover all these topics by inviting guests from all facets of recovery, treatment, enforcement, I can't talk today, and policy. The door is wide open and we want to be a resource. Don't forget, we take topic suggestions and we always welcome feedback. This show is always dedicated to my friend and recovery warrior, Craig Barnaby, who dedicated his life to the well-being of others. Today we have our astute guest, Sierra McGregor, who is a woman of recovery and an avid meditator. And there's a reason why we wanted to discuss meditation specifically. So,
because we want to discuss all facets of recovery.
Exactly.
And how people stay in recovery.
How do people stay in recovery, improve their lives, and move forward?
Change. What it is.
So, Sierra, do you want to introduce yourself to our audience and tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got here?
So thank you for having me. I appreciate the invitation and to be able to come on and share a little bit of my experience. Like you had said, I am a woman in recovery. I have been in recovery. I started to come to AA about 9 years ago, and I've been sober 7. So I have been, you know, around for a little bit. And in my process of recovery, I had discovered meditation and the healing powers that it brought to me into my life. And so basically when I had started out in recovery, there was, you know, you come in and you learn about the steps and you learn, you know, in the 11th step about prayer and meditation. And so it was something that had been, you know, kind of, people were talking about it in the halls, so I said, okay, you know, I'll give this meditation a shot. And it was pretty early on, and I'm very, very novice at it. And so just basically went to YouTube, because it was free, and just started poking around and then doing, you know, starting to get into meditation. And then in the beginning, in the process, when I was, you know, very new in recovery and trying to get sober, there are certain, like, physical changes that happen to you as well. Yeah. And one of the things that I noticed was is that I was having a real difficulty sleeping. So once the alcohol was removed, so alcohol was my drug of choice, and that's why I went to AA. Once the alcohol was removed, I wasn't, you know, drinking to pass out every single night, and that's what I was doing, and it was a real crutch to sleep. And so once that was taken away, I was having a lot of difficulty. So I started doing a lot of, like, you know, helpful, you know, get to sleep meditations and things like that. And so that was kind of like my first foray into the world of meditation, and I found it to be quite helpful. But then as time went on, and just to learning and growing and staying sober and going through the steps, I found that I was becoming a little bit more open-minded, and I found that I was kind of searching for a little bit more. So in that open-mindedness, I was able to kind of, you know, do some further searching and just be a little bit more open to kind of some ideas or some thoughts that maybe I would not have been beforehand. So when something would pop up as a suggestion on my YouTube channel, you know, I was like, okay, like, might as well just give this a shot. I don't really know what this is all about, but I'm willing to check it out. And so that was kind of like a nice change that resulted from even being sober, you know. So
well, before
not
you get
having
to, before
that,
you get to that,
So the biggest thing for me and the biggest thing I hear from people is that meditation is impossible, like to clear your mind, to not think.
Right.
So, and that was a tough thing for me to overcome, that that's not, it's a practice, right?
It's a practice.
It's not, we're not trying to completely not think. We're trying to be present, right? We're trying to be in a different place. So talk a little bit about that, like how you, because it was a process for you. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Because initially it was just so you could sleep, right? And then it became like a daytime thing because you're not trying to go to sleep. You're trying to stay present and stay awake.
Correct.
So talk a little bit about that, like how that transition, because I know it wasn't
It was not easy for you.
And I know
that's
amazing.
it wasn't easy, for sure. Yeah, because you get these thoughts that come in.
Absolutely.
So there's definitely a learning curve, and there's definitely patience that's involved with it as well. And then just also that knowing that there wasn't, I didn't put that pressure on myself where it was like, I have to shut my mind off 100% completely. Yeah. Like the thoughts can come in and they can flow in and out. And if I have like a 1 second respite from that, from that racing brain syndrome that I would have. And so that was another reason why it was so important to be able to do that, is because that's one of the reasons why I drank, because I have a very alcoholic racing brain. And so that was always the ultimate reason why I wanted to drink, is because I wanted to shut off that constant noise that went on in my head, that constant negative loop. And so even if I could get just, seconds at a time, then I considered that like a win and then gaining in the process.
So when you started to meditate, how long, how did you start, incrementally?
What
did you start with?
So I would probably start with the nighttime meditations that I would do to sleep. It was probably maybe I put it on for like an hour and see how far I got in. Sometimes I would fall asleep, sometimes I wouldn't. And then when I started to do other types of meditations, like during the day and exploring with different guided meditations, it would probably be 15, 20 minutes, something like that. Nothing too, long or too heavy. And then it kind of evolved from there.
Did you start on a schedule?
No, I didn't really have a schedule. So I was really.
So Sierra and I, we knew each other.
To keep it, faithfully and do it as much as I could, but I didn't have a regimented schedule. Right. So
so we'd see each other around, so we knew each other. But one time we were at an Alcathon. I think it was New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it was New Year's Eve in Salem.
And I was talking about going to see somebody who, it's really more law of attraction type stuff, but she meditating also.
It was in that YouTube universe, though, that I was kind of introduced.
And we both, and I said that I was going to see this person, or I wanted to see her, and she's like, I want to see her too. And it was the first time, we had connected on that level. Like, we were both at the same place at that time, seeking
something else.
What is this? Because we didn't know how to live,
just how to be in your own skin. Because that's another thing too, is because when you take that crutch away and you take that coping mechanism away, which was the alcohol, then what's left? What do I do? How do I react to the world?
Who am I?
So that's where, these kind of outside things, outside of AA. But it's really important to know that AA and being sober was the foundation that afforded me to be able to go and do these investigations into some of these other different modalities, whether it was the law of attraction or whether it was, self-help in any other way, and meditation.
And of course, it's all intertwined.
It's all intertwined.
I say this a lot. I say, when I talk to people, clients and people I work with, or even just have conversations about recovery, I always say recovery is like a puzzle. There are many pieces that complete the puzzle. The uniqueness about it is it's your puzzle.
Because life is like a puzzle, right?
Life is
we have all these different facets of our lives. We're going to have all these different facets of
And I think
recovery.
Exploration and expansion is so important, like you did.
Yeah. Right. Okay, and so they even talk about it in the big book as well, So, and even in the stories, people going out and doing different things, they go back to church or they do this or they do that. So that's kind of
what I did too.
Living right inside of that, you know, living right in the hall of AA.
Right.
Because it only took me so far, you know, doing that. And then it was like, well, now what?
What about the rest of my life?
And it's still a part of your recovery, right? 12 steps.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, it is in the 12 steps, prayer and meditation.
It is. That's it absolutely is.
So I'm still active in AA, in recovery, 12-step work. This hasn't taken away anything. Yeah. Like I said, that's the foundation that affords me to be able to go and do these things. Because if I was still drinking, I would not be the meditator that I am today.
Right.
Or anything else that I am today. So,
All right, so then you talked about the evolution.
Yeah,
now we're so back to
the meditation, back to the evolution. And so I had come across the workings of a man called Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he has tons of YouTube videos, and there was a lot of free meditations. And so I had started to do those meditations as well. And it was right around the time that COVID had happened and lockdown had happened, and I was in my then home with my daughter, who was probably, 10 at the time?
Yeah.
And it was just the two of us, no work.
Right.
So we were just home, and it was a few days in, so it was like, woohoo, like time off. And so what I did was, is that I decided to move her room around, and Gail actually comes back into the story as well.
I'm always in the story.
She had this bed for her daughter.
Oh, the bed.
Yeah, the bed for her daughter.
The nightmare bed.
She had bought her a new one, and she said, hey, I have this bed frame, do you want it? It's like, you know, has this wooden, you know, shelf situation, and things like the headboard, and it has drawers underneath and everything like that. And so she brought it over to my house and put it in the basement. And so my daughter was like, oh, I really want to get that new bed. I really want to get that new bed upstairs and put together. But we're in, you know, quarantine lockdown, so it's just me and her. So, you know, little me, what I did was is that I started to move around her room, and she had this massive, massive wooden armoire that I had to move out of the way, and I had to push that whole bed up my basement stairs, and they were tremendously long basement stairs, like extra long basement stairs.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening was is that I slipped a disc in my back. Mm-hmm. So I ended up having tremendous back pain, shooting down my leg, severe sciatica. My whole leg went numb in just excruciating pain. And prior to, I was no stranger to back pain. Like I had been going to see a chiropractor since I was about 16 years old. And so this has been something that I've been dealing with for a long time.
Right.
You know, this kind of pain that, you know, manifests in this, you know, physical pain. But it was excruciating.
Yeah.
But luckily, I knew my chiropractor on a personal basis. So I was able to text him and say, you know, hey, what can I do? And he gave me some stretches. It wasn't getting any better. And he said, I'll come into the office and I'll see you. And so I said, okay. And so I went in for chiropractic care, and it was pretty bad.
Yeah,
he was very concerned. And so that started me on this regimen of going to the chiropractor. At first, it was 3 days a week, 3 or 4 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be there. I had to be on the traction table, getting adjustments and everything
spent
like that.
I spent a lot of time
at the chiropractor. But it was about this time that I had, you know, first discovered the Dr. Joe meditations.
Yeah.
And a lot of what he is talking about is how to heal the body from within. Through the mode of meditation, through the practice of meditation. And so I just started digging deeper and diving deeper into his works, listening to YouTube talks, buying books, listening to audio, and then doing meditations. And then again, at first, that was an evolution too, because like stubborn alcoholic, like he would give instructions like, make sure you're sitting up in a chair.
I want to lay down. I lay down.
Lay down like
I wouldn't. Become an addiction?
So,
No,
but I wouldn't follow the directions. Like he would say, you know, make sure you're sitting up in a chair, and then, you know, give certain instructions.
Yeah.
And I would just like lay down. And so I had progressed with that and started taking it a little bit more seriously.
Yeah.
And really trying to understand kind of the science behind it, because you have to be really, really open to be able to understand or to try to understand the message that, like, your body can actually heal itself. And there's was just things that he was saying that were, you know, kind of unbelievable, like blind people could see.
And when I would hear that, I would think brainwashing, which is funny because... there's really no...
They say the same thing about 12 steps, too.
And there's really no... like, why would that be? Why would he do that? There's no basis for it. I mean, he makes plenty of money. He doesn't need to brainwash anybody.
How many times have we heard that, and I hear it still today...
that it's a cult.
It's a cult.
Yeah. Right.
But people don't understand, okay, to change behaviors, change thoughts, I have to do different action.
Right.
So... it's similar to the meditation.
Right.
Absolutely.
So I started taking different action and really started to concentrate on it and give it more weight in my life.
Nice.
And really start to try to do it like every day, and how it's said to do it. And then again, just exploring more and exploring more. And so that was probably over the course of a year.
Talk a little bit more about what the meditation is, because you can explain it in a way that I don't think I can.
Yeah.
So what the meditation is that it's really just about getting out of your own way. So it's about removing your thoughts in a way where it's almost like you go into a different space. And in that space, that allows your body to do what it's meant to do. Mm. It allows it to be able to heal, repair, and what he calls, you know, you can do more manipulation. Like you can literally like change your genes. You can lengthen your telomeres where you can add more time to your life. Like there's actual physical changes that can occur. And that's just
well, the power of the mind is amazing.
Right.
Well, it's part of the body.
It's part of
the body. I mean, it's a physical thing. He says focusing on a vision of the future instead of memories from the past.
Exactly. So that's what it's all about. And so his biggest thing is that you can't change if you wake up and you do the same thing every single day.
You're
literally stuck in the past because what you're doing is literally just a replication of all the things that you did before.
Right. Yeah.
So how are you going to go ahead and perceive that change? Mm-hmm. How are you going to be able to have a different experience in the future? And so you have to actually envision it and you have to feel as if it's already occurred and it's already happened. And you need to be able to feel that emotion attached to it. And so once you kind of have that thought-emotion combination, then that's where things can change. And that's when your ideas change because you're living more so in the future world and designing your future world. Yeah. And a lot of the times that future world is without whatever it was in the past that was holding you down.
Yeah.
Whether it's the physical trauma, whether it's the emotional trauma or anything like that, you know, when we're reliving that, you know, that same
thing, all of it.
Guilt, shame.
Yes.
Guilt,
anger.
Shame, all of it. And so if we're just constantly living there, then how can we be a different person in the future? So it's all about removing those things. And Gail talks about that all the time.
Blocking ourselves off.
Right. So how do we remove
it's all one big picture.
Really is.
So this will allow you to be able to remove those things, to get out of the way of those things, to allow this future self to come in. And so what ended up happening for me was that I was doing this, you know, chiropractic thing for a long time, and I was meditating, and I would have bouts where I would do really well, and I wouldn't have to go all the time for my appointments. So it would be like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, we try to bump it out as long as we could. But then all of a sudden it would be as simple as like I'm putting on my shirt, and then all of a sudden like I can't move.
Yeah.
You know, it would like come back. I would move the wrong way, and then I would just get that, you know, incredible excruciating pain.
Yeah.
And so I would end up, you know, crawling back into his office and being like, can you see me now?
Right.
And then, you know, kind of going through it again. And so leading up to, it was 2022, it was spring, summer of 2022, I had seen, so this man, Dr. Joe, he does these retreats. He does them all over the world. He does these week-long meditation retreats. And so then I became very intrigued. And so for like 6 months, I was really thinking about it. You know, can I go to one of these? Should I go to one? Like, that would be a really great experience because my life was so busy. So, you know, like single mom and I'm working and, you know, and then I had a lot
all
of trauma.
That goes on. Yeah.
My father passed away of COVID. Yeah. I was his, you know, end of life, you know.
The only one.
I was the only one.
Right.
And so I was in the hospital with him and I had to advocate for him to be on hospice, which is, you know, this is just not like great stuff that people want to do. And then my mother got sick right after that. She had aneurysm. She had to have open heart surgery. I had to take care of her. So this was all like back to back to back.
You didn't drink?
No, I didn't drink.
Well, and that wasn't even, that's not even on the table anymore.
It's
getting to the causes and dealing with the causes and conditions, which are, you know, being blocked off.
Being blocked off and having these experiences and not being able to necessarily cope very well because I didn't drink, but I wasn't very happy.
Why your health was exacerbated, right? Because living in the past like that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So an event came up for London, and I've always wanted to go to London. It was like my number one top destination of places that I wanted to travel that I haven't been. And a week-long event came up, and I had a timer on my phone because they sell out within a minute.
Quickly. Yeah, he's very, very, very popular.
He's very, very popular. And I had the timer set up. I was at work, and I, like, put it up on my computer screen at work, which is, like, a no-no. But I was like, I don't care.
I got to do this thing.
Sorry, Mitch.
Yeah. I was like, I don't care. And I sat there and I waited and I tried to get in and I tried to get in and I was trying to pay and I was trying to pay and it wasn't working, wasn't going through. It just kept on scrolling and scrolling. And I would say probably like an hour went by or something like that. And I was like getting really defeated, like it has to be gone. It has to be sold out. But then I get this, I'm looking on my phone and I get an email and it says register now for Dr. Joe, London, August, you know, whatever the dates were. And I clicked it. And it said register now, and it popped up to the registration form, and it allowed me to register. And I was like, hallelujah.
Right.
It's meant to be.
It's meant to be. And then come to find out, it turned out to be a glitch. That email, a bunch of people got that email, and it was a glitch. And so it wasn't supposed to allow us to register. There was like a handful of us that were able to register, and I was one of the lucky ones that got that because I would have never been there without that email glitch.
Wow.
Yeah. So I registered for that and I'm having these, you know, little continual pop-ups with the back pain. And so it was probably, I want to say, end of July, beginning of August. And I've already booked out the retreat and I had gone in and I to see the chiropractor with one of these bad flare-ups. And he said, Sierra, when are you going to have surgery? And I said, I don't.
Never.
Right.
Yeah, that's not in my existence. That's not in my thoughts. It's not something that I want to do. It's not something that I want to entertain. Yeah. This man himself, my chiropractor, had the same surgery that he wanted me to have, and his nerve was nicked during the surgery.
Yeah.
And he ended up, like, with a limp.
Right.
So I was like, you're not a good walking billboard for this.
Right.
You're telling me
that. Right.
But there's no other option. Like, that's basically what he was saying. You know, this is, you're at the point where it's like, you go to this next.
Right. We've tried.
We've tried. You've been doing this for a really long time. You know, when are you going to think about having surgery? And I said, well, I'm going away on my meditation retreat. We'll see what happens after that. And I went away on the meditation retreat, and I have not been back to his office since.
Amazing.
And that was in 2022, August of 2022.
And I've watched it. So, I mean, I was there before, obviously, the bed came from me.
Yes,
right.
It did. So I was there before that happened. And then I watched her going to the chiropractor mm-hmm. on a regular basis. And I'm still not convinced that meditation can cure cancer. Because
I'm convinced.
And I'm still not quite there. But, I mean, I would like to believe that. I wish I had that kind of faith.
Yeah, I can sometimes, right. It's that faith. I can sometimes be a skeptic too, but I've seen instances.
Well, I mean, I've seen it in her. So yeah. I've seen that.
We see it right here presenting in front of us, but I've seen instances too where people said, well, I'll use my wife who was very ill and said, I'm not leaving my kids. And that was someone who was literally, all systems are shutting down, kidneys, everything, and then turned around and said, with her mind.
Yeah.
That, you know, put my mind to it. I'm not leaving. I'm healing. Mm-hmm. And it was one of these things where on a Friday you're dying, on Sunday you're back to normal, and they're saying, we don't know what happened.
We don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm. Don't do it again, but it's just an miracle.
Well, and I've had so many remarkable experiences in my life. I mean, on so many levels.
Right.
So it's just that one part of me that's still skeptical.
And
that still has that.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Mm-hmm. And how
but if you were open-minded to going to a retreat and learning a little bit more about the science behind it, because that's the thing. Like, this man is very, very science.
He's really smart. He's
incredibly smart. And he brings in scientists. Everything is tested. He does so many tests, blood. Mm-hmm. He does brain scans. And he had outside, you know, scientists come in, you know, not people that he hired, to kind of do these unbiased research and then present the evidence. And so I learned so much more when I went to the week-long retreat about the actual science behind it. Right. And
what a positive impact.
I would love to sit here and say that I could, you know, kind of reiterate what you know, remember everything about it. It's a lot, and it's very scientific, but there is evidence which makes it like almost more so like I can do this because there is evidence.
This is proof. Yeah.
So this is really like I'm buying in because of the proof that they have.
Right.
And so it kind of makes you go all in. And so that whole 7 days that I was there, it was up at, you know, whatever time in the morning. Sometimes one of the meditations was at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And then one of them lasted for about 4.5 hours. I'm in a ballroom with 2,000 other people. There were 2,000 people at that event.
He has a lot of followers. Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing stuff.
Because we're short on time, where would you tell somebody to start?
With the Dr. Joe?
Oh, just with meditation.
With meditation.
Just anywhere. So just like what I did,
I went to YouTube.
Research.
Just hit one, and then another one will be suggested, and then kind of see what hits and what resonates with you.
Because you can do 5-minute meditation, 10 minutes.
And it could be, it can be to help alleviate cravings. It could be used
absolutely
for health and physical. So a wide range of applications.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So really, again, thank you for coming on, and appreciate it.
Yeah,
and,
it was nice. It was great.
It was great to get your perspective and on other options for people to explore, to improve their lives as well as their recovery process. So we want to thank you. Please continue to tune in. Just remember, we are here to provide resources. If you are in crisis, dial 911. To seek services, call 211. And if you are suicidal, call 988, the Suicide in Crisis line. Ask for help, seek support. And just remember, please don't do this recovery thing alone, mental health or substance abuse. Seek support. Thank you.
Opinions expressed in this presentation are those of the producer and those appearing in this show, and do not necessarily represent the views of DairyCam, the Town of Derry, or any of its staff or affiliates.
Thank you.